Well, guess what? Going to go back to Romans 5th chapter again this morning for a few verses. Then conscience be clear. It's because of his justification. Otherwise, his conscience always demanded more works. Love of Christ causes us to do good works. It produces good works. James said if it didn't have any works, it wasn't any good anyway. All your works that you do are absolutely vain outside of the power of Jesus Christ. It's his faith that we stand on. Yeah. Most people today believe, though, something flying around here, Dora. Most people today believe that God ought to be reconciled to them. It's being taught more and more all the time that if you make some kind of little commitment, then God ought to be reconciled to you. But it's all false. And the workings of God are outside of the knowledge of man, unless the Holy Spirit teach him. And the Spirit comes by faith, and it is the Spirit of faith of Jesus Christ that saves a man. And we say saved a lot of time, but it is saves. It's plural. It's more than just one-time event. But men are being taught more and more today that it is just a one-time event. And it's all over. But we must stand, if we stand at all, with a clear conscience, reconciled unto God, that all things are of him. And he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it can come by no other means. Peace will not come by any other means. Man will not be reconciled unto God outside of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a must. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And this grace is faith that justifies man. If you believe God, then it's justification because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All these things are brought on by the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Man can't have any glory in things that he is not partaker of. It's a heavenly calling. It isn't of this world, and it isn't of man's decision or his knowledge. He can't understand the knowledge of this saving grace that brings on faith is outside of the power of man to understand. It's a supernatural thing. It's of great power. not of the things of this world. And he said, not only so, now he's going to go on. This thing doesn't stop within one day. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, and knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. We're not ashamed to call him our Father. That's the most important part. But if man be not reconciled, then he certainly is still the enemy of God. He just cannot love something that is adverse to him. What he thinks is adverse, at least. He considers all things that are of God, though in his way. It just in his way. He could do it a whole lot better if those things didn't stand in his way. Especially the law. We'll just get rid of it. Say, well, the law was done away with. But I beg your pardon. Not one jot or one tittle of it be done away with until all be fulfilled. And hope maketh not ashamed, because love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's the true grace there that he's given unto us. It's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. It's given unto us. It can't be earned. It can't be bought. It can't be had. It can't be worked for. It's all in the giving of the Holy Ghost. He said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love, and this whole thing here is the love of God for his people. It's all wrapped up in that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now people misuse that all the time. But nevertheless it is true. And it's all wrapped up in the love of God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now this is a problem with man. He understands, he clearly understands the wrath of God. Not to the fullest extent, but it's always weighing on his conscience. And he's always trying to appease God some kind of way. Offer up something that God would be reconciled to him. But let me tell you, the reconciliation is all on the part of man, not on God. It was man that left God. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And we are reconciled because of the love of Christ. And if the love of Christ be shed upon man by the Holy Ghost, then he will return that love. And the law is good. And we'll do our best to keep it. It's all good for us. Book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, a few verses here. Always going back to Book of Isaiah, seems like. In verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. We've read that over and over, and it's always coming up. There isn't any other God. It's it. I have sworn by myself. The words have gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. It's going to bear heavy up on their conscience. And they're going to be ashamed. They think it won't. They think they're plenty stout, will overcome. That's what they say all the time. I hear it over and over nowadays, especially. We're all in this together and we're going to overcome. Okay. And in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be what? Justified. And what's that going to bring on? Glory. Now the question is, what do we glory in? Hopefully it's in the love of Jesus Christ that was shed for us for the remission of sins. Reconcile. Be brought under the power of the Holy Ghost. Book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Verse 23 said, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. And at that time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Now he says this over and over and over too, sometime in a little different manner, but all the same thing. I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people. Nuts, saith the Lord. The people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to crush him, to cause him to rest. And the whole thing is rest. We work to rest. That's the common principles people that knew about work. We work that we might rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Israel, people of God, the called. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. O Virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. So the Lord is going to do it. He's going to reconcile his people unto him, that he might be their God, and that they might be his people. The people that are willing to work. I don't mean get out here and do something that, you know, you're not going to help God. But to work is to look into the Word of God and be conformed to the image of him who is our justification. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be in you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're in this old world. All kind of mischief going on around us. All things, kind of things towing us on. And yet, the people of God can sit with him in heavenly places. He goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, by the way. We can sit in heavenly places, even in all the turmoil that goes on in this world. We can be at rest, or we have peace with God, knowing that all things do work together to good. We use that a whole lot, but we have to rely on that. That's what God does. Everything to good to them that are called. So it must be also a calling of those and a reconciling of man unto God himself. Otherwise, it won't be any good at all. He said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Boy, we look at that all the time too, don't we? It wasn't when we come along. It was before all of it. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's the whole principle of the whole thing. He first loved us. He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. What grace? That was shed upon us by the Lord Himself, by the shedding of His blood and the picking up of life after that, to the praise of glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Need over and over, it's of His grace. Can be no other way. Man will not change. He will not, and he cannot. A decision for good is outside of the possibilities of man. He's always chosen us. He's always been mad at God. And He's going to remain that way unless the Lord changes. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And verse 14 said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That's our guide. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Every one. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, what being sanctified. There again, it's a sanctified, not no one-time event. Now understand that. It's a growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more after the flesh, it's after the Spirit. Not after the flesh. We're not dealing in fleshly things. That's what the problem is with most of the teaching today, is they're trying to teach fleshly things pertaining to spiritual. No wonder there isn't any understanding. You got to teach spiritual things if it do any good at all. If the Lord bless it, it must be of spiritual things. Verse 17, He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled. God has the preeminence. It's all in Him. Back in the book of John, the 15th chapter. And in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not as servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So we have come full circle back to the same principle. It's the love of Christ that saves men.
Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a new heart, a new mind. We have now a sound mind, Brother Bruce. Up until that point, we didn't have a sound mind. No, there can't be a sound mind that is at enmity with God, can it? But we're not at enmity with God anymore. We are reconciled. We are in agreement with Him, not on some things, but on all things. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. It's not in us as natural men to walk in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Takes the new birth, doesn't it? The holy birth from above. All right. But isn't that wonderful? That if Christ died for you, then he bore the punishment of your sins, didn't he? And if he bore the punishment of your sins, then he's certainly going to follow through, as Romans 5 says. Much more than being reconciled or justified by his blood, we shall be saved by his life. Our sins must be forgiven and paid for, and then we can live and walk with God in Jesus Christ.